Good evening, and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We are back, and we are still in Tell It Well, praise the Lord, Terrorize Bible Study, and it has been such a blessing to so many women in the Omaha community, and I just thank you for her obedience to doing the Bible and storing it. We are in Chapter 8 of the Book of Acts this week, which
I'm so excited.
Tara said she storied it, or taught on it for an hour and a half. We won't be teaching on it for an hour and a half right now, but we'll do a good 20 minutes.
So much meat, you would think that, you know, but anyhow, it's so funny. I just had a valuable lesson I just wanted to share real quick. Biblical story, and the reason why I use it, or the telling of God's word in my own words, it has a way of speaking to the heart as other things without you having to do the pointing finger. And I just got back from Lexington, Nebraska at Parkview Baptist Church, storing the entire summary of the Bible. And God used that time to remind me of how important it is for us to hear the whole plan of God's work. And a good reminder as to why we do it. And I had women come up to me and just say, you know, you made things real that I hadn't caught on to before. Mm-hmm. But for myself, who I've lost count how many times this year God has opened the door for me to story the whole summary of the Bible. It's probably like around 6 to 10. I don't know for certain. I was sitting in the worship time and so blessed by the Holy Spirit, because the worship team, without speaking to me, every song they chose had one of the points I was going to teach on over the weekend. It was amazing the how it all came together. And as I was worshiping and praying, God showed me more truths in what I was teaching, because I had an understanding and I could story the whole summary of the Bible. It was an overwhelming moment for me in the Lord. And so when we take the time to do this, to story a passage, it's not because I want to hear myself telling. We do it because before we begin the teaching, we want to provide a solid base of a summary of the context of what we're doing, because we can't sit down together and say, okay, let's read the whole passage. And so by telling it in my own words, it's to give us a context behind before we get into the teaching. And that's why we do that every week when we're every month on the radio show. So I wanted to explain that, because God taught me again this weekend how powerful it impacted me. And I've studied it over and over and over, and he's still revealing truths.
Okay, I just have to ask a question. Where did you get the idea of storying?
You know, Sabrina, that's really a good question. And that, if you actually go to TaraRye.com,
okay,
on the very front page, we now have, we just added it this week. That's crazy that you asked that question. I mean, that video just went up this week. We have a video that's like 13 minutes long, and you can also find it on YouTube and do Tara Rye. And the video tells, it has the story of different women. We're dialoguing about Bible storying, and through the video, I explain how I came to that process. But I'll give you a real quick summation. Through the process of my teaching, as I would teach what you would call like a literate means A, B, C, 1, 2, 3 with points, you know, I would have women come up to me after a class and say to me, I don't get it. And I couldn't figure out why they didn't get it. And at first I went through the process of thinking, does this person know the Lord? And then I would, well, wait a minute. I know this person. I've seen their fruit. I know this person knows the Lord. There's no reason for this person not to be understanding it. So then I started asking God, why aren't they getting it? Well, the first thing I did to help them understand is I wrote short historical fictions where I would write from someone's perspective related to the passage. And I did that. But I went to one group in one setting, and as I did it in this particular setting, this group couldn't handle that. They felt that I was adding to the Word of God, and they actually called me a heretic. and I wasn't. It was a fictional account just to help us to understand the context is what I was trying to do.
Okay.
So that made me go the opposite direction, where I went, the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word, only the Word. And then I started having women come up to me, I don't get it, I don't get it. And I'm like, God, I need balance here. And in the process, He just began to show me how to tell it in my own words before I would do the teaching or while I was teaching to better help the women understand. And when I did that, I would have people come up to me and say, that makes so much sense. I now understand it better. Mm-hmm. And one particular lesson was so profound for me. I storied the book of Esther one day with a group of women. And I had a woman who was in her 60s who had grown up in the church came up to me and she said, I didn't know that. And I'm like, didn't know what? And she goes, I didn't know the story of Esther. I knew parts of Esther. I knew the concepts. I knew what movies told us. I knew like certain sections because pastors will only teach certain sections, but I didn't know the whole story of Esther. And she said, thank you so much for doing that. The reason is so many people are an oral learner. They're not a person who's going to take the time to read. They learn by hearing, not by reading. And actually, statistically, that's 7 out of 10 people sitting in a Bible study. Really, only 3 people in a given Bible study are actually the ones that are going to read. And so we need to meet the need of the one who is the hearer. I mean, obviously, if you're listening to this, you are a learner that loves to listen to hear. You love to learn through hearing. And so it's to meet the need of the one who prefers to hear. And Scripture says, you know, if it were not for the word, if I had not heard the word. And so, you know, that is a part of our lineage. So that's how storying came about.
Okay, that's great. And I just have to affirm you too. When Tara came to my neighborhood and did it, there was actually a woman that said the last night when Tara couldn't be there, she said that her husband was starting to read them out loud to her because that's the only way she could understand.
Wow.
And she never understood why she couldn't learn until she did the study.
And then
because
she
realized that hearing it over and over again and having then someone saying it to her, that's when the understanding happened.
That's huge.
Yeah. So she had, now she has a new learning style for the word of God.
Right. And it sounds like it's not really new. It's new as in she's found her way of learning, but it's really her way of learning.
Right.
And it's amazing the doors it opens up. In Parkview, I had multiple women come up to me afterwards and say, thank you so much for storing the Bible. And it's like it made me realize some things I hadn't seen. It helped me see the greater picture. And it's a blessing to be able to hear the word.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's huge. Today, what we're going to do is we're going to finish the saga we've been looking at. Because really, Acts 6, 7, and 8 are one continuous story. Okay, in Acts 6, it begins the story of Stephen and his being confronted by the religious leaders and then his testimony of the history of Israel and the condemnation really on the nation because they rejected the one that God had sent. And then they stoned him and he, you know, asked God to forgive them for what they did. All right. That's the setting as we begin into Acts 8. Now I'm going to continue the story from this point. As they stoned Stephen, Saul stood there and gave his approval to his death. And a great persecution set out upon the early church. And all of the disciples were scattered. They were everywhere. They were going in all kinds of places. Some godly men came and they gathered together and they got Stephen's body. Because they could not leave him there. And they went and they buried him and honored him for what he did. But as this was happening, Saul's anger and angst against the church increased that in such a way that he was so bent to go and destroy them that he was ferociously just going from house to house, gathering the men and gathering the women and taking them and seeking to stop what they were doing in Christ. But all of those that had heard the word and then fled because of the persecution that Saul was bringing, everywhere they went, they preached the word. Everywhere they went. And one of the men that was a part of the people that fled was Philip. Philip went to Samaria. And in Samaria, he began to give a proclamation and proclaiming and preaching and teaching the word of God in such a way that the people were amazed by the things that he was saying. They began to pay attention And they began to listen. And as they were listening, evil spirits, scripture tells us that evil spirits were flying out and cripples were healed. And the entire city had a great rejoicing begin to happen in it. Well, within the city of Samaria, there was one man who was known as Simon the sorcerer. And he was a great magician that was within the city. And in the city, he practiced all kinds of magic, so much so that both men in high places and men in low places followed him because he was astounding in what he could do. And they would even say, they'd go so far as to say, he has a great divine God. I mean, they proclaimed great honor on him and title. And people followed him everywhere and were amazed. Well, when Philip showed up into Samaria and he began to preach the word and people's lives began to be healed, people began to follow him and they were believing and then they were following through with baptism. Simon was a part of this group of people and he too believed and followed through with baptism. Now, in Jerusalem, the word had spread. It was just rippling out and it went back to Jerusalem. And the apostles were hearing of the great movement of God that was going on in Samaria. So they had Peter and John go to Samaria to see what was happening. They had to go and find out what was going on. And so when they arrived into Samaria, they realized that they had had a baptism as in believing in the Lord Jesus, but they had not received the Holy Spirit. And so they went up and they laid hands on them so that they could receive the Holy Spirit, and they did. Well, Simon was watching, and he realized that when they laid hands, the Spirit came. So he went to the disciples, and he said, "Give me also this ability so that everyone I lay hands on, everybody that I touch, will also receive the Holy Spirit." Well, you know, not happening. And he said to him, he says, "Your money shall perish with you. You cannot buy the gift of God with money. It is not for sale." And he said, "You will have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right with God. Repent of the wickedness that is inside you, and you need to pray. You need to pray to God that He take this from you, and perhaps maybe he'll forgive you. You are so filled with this bitterness and so captive to sin. You need to repent and pray." Well, Simon immediately cried out to Peter and he said, "Oh, you need to pray for me. Pray for me that this will not happen as you say." Well, just then, Peter and John were done proclaiming what they needed to do within the city. And so they got up and they began preaching all the way to Jerusalem, returned to Jerusalem and began their preaching there. Well, Philip, he was one that listened to the Spirit of God. And the Spirit came to him in a form of some angels and said, "You need to go to the desert road near the Gaza Strip." Well, even though he had had this huge ministry going on in Samaria, the Spirit said, "Leave." He left and he went to the desert. And in the desert, there was an Ethiopian eunuch riding along in a chariot. And he heard the Spirit of God tell him, "Go alongside the chariot." And so he went alongside the chariot and he could hear that the Ethiopian eunuch was reading from the book of Isaiah. Mm. He was reading a passage. And as he was running alongside the chariot, he looks up to the Ethiopian eunuch and he says to them, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And the Ethiopian eunuch shouts back, "How can I unless someone explains it to me?" So as he's running along, the Ethiopian eunuch says, "Come on in, jump in and come in." And he jumped inside the chariot and he began to explain the scriptures to him right where he was reading. And the passage he was reading was from Isaiah 53. Mm-hmm. And it said, "He was led like sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb silent before the shearer. He did not open his mouth." And the Ethiopian eunuch asked him a question. He said, "Who is he talking about? Is he talking about himself or is he talking about someone else?" And Philip explained. And as he explained to him the good news of what Jesus had done, the Ethiopian eunuch was listening. And as they came upon a body of water, he looked out at that water and he says, "Look, here's water. Why can't I be baptized?" And Philip said to him, he says, "If you truly believe in your heart, then you may." And so they immediately pulled over. They went down to the water. And as Philip was baptizing him, the eunuch came out rejoicing in God. And right there before him, Philip was no more. He was gone. He never saw him again. Now, scripture tells us that Philip was on his way. He appeared in Azotus, and he began preaching all the way to Caesarea. That is the story of Acts 8. Now, is that not, there is a lot in this passage, is there not?
There is a lot and, of like,
There's a lot of history, theological issues that cause incredible debate within Christianity. There is the example and the reality that Philip, also who was one of the seven, here Philip is used in a mighty way in Samaria, the very people that the Jews won't even like go into their city. And here he's there preaching and leading them to the Lord, and then the apostles showing up and anointing them and the Spirit coming. I mean, it's amazing things are happening in this particular passage. And not only that, historians say that they believe traditionally they give this thought to that Philip is the one who led the Ethiopian eunuch, thereby opened up the door for the gospel to reach Africa. That's what historical tradition says. And so it's showing how wide open all of a sudden that they just, when they burst out of Jerusalem, they burst out of Jerusalem. Now, we only have like, it's amazing, Sabrina, our time went so fast.
Oh, wow. I'll be quiet.
No, it's all right. I'm going to hint at this and then we'll continue this thought when we come back next week. So you're going to want to come back and listen to what happens. But essentially, I want you to understand, Jesus told them that you will be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the outermost ends of the earth. But they were still in Jerusalem. They didn't leave of their own free will. It took the scattering. But once they were scattered, they didn't stay hidden and saying, I'm not going to talk because we were being persecuted in Jerusalem. We have to stay silent wherever we go. Scripture is clear. Wherever they went, they preached the word of God. Wherever they went, they preached the word of God. They were faithful to communicate what they had seen and what they had heard. And when they did that, the people stood amazed and they believed and followed through with baptism. They walked in obedience immediately and lives were changed. Ultimately, that's what this whole chapter is about. It's about the movement of God, the proclaiming of his word, and how obedience, when it's true obedience, will bring about a changed heart. We're so glad you're listening to Cultivating Hearts, and we hope that you'll come back and listen next week. God bless.